The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
This is what God wants us to do. Not only pray evil out, but pray righteousness in.
Next on Life Today, James and Betty Robison, along with Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, reveal God's kingdom in you.
Because it's the fullness in Christ that brings us the wholeness.
Experience God's power like never before with God's kingdom in you, next on Life Today.
I'm so excited we can share this time together. I really do thank you for watching the program. You know, Life Today has been a blessing to people all over the world because it's so much more than simply a name or a title. It really is learning how to experience life today, every day. And one of the things that we point out, I think it's really important for you to understand, you will really live life the way you want to live it when you begin to share the life of God with others. I mean, if you want to experience the fullness of love, release that love towards someone. I want to encourage you to get what Beth Moore has joined with me and Betty in sharing, and that is the reality of God's kingdom in you. The subtitle, Living in His Presence in the Present. See, people have erroneously reduced the kingdom of God to a future reward rather than a present reality. Now, of course, there's the future heaven, where there are no more challenges, where there's no enemy, no disease, no death, no sorrow. Those things, the former are gone. But Jesus prayed for the will of God to be done on earth as in heaven. And he sent us as sheep not to the slaughter, sheep amidst and among wolves, but in the shadow of the shepherd, in his covering, his presence, his provision, his watch care. And this is what God is telling us we're to live in. This kind of a shelter. This is kingdom reality. I shared a story in this series, which you can get it in five parts, God's Kingdom in You, where Beth Moore, Betty and I are sharing, I believe, the most exciting journey you're ever going to find yourself suddenly embarking on, the reality of it. But I shared a story about how a blind dog helped me see. And by the way, if you would like to know what I'm writing every week relating to church issues, issues of spiritual significance and national concerns and how we can prayerfully address them, you can go to my website, jamesrobison.net. What I'd really love you to do is take this time that I literally pour my heart out. When I wrote about the blind dog that helped me see, I was trying to take you into an experience where the kingdom presence of God could be revealed in a public place. In that instance, in an office depot, office supply. Listen, go to jamesrobison.net, scroll back through, look at all the different things. I shared a very highly interesting article about spending time with Glenn Beck, how Betty and I interacted and prayed with him and prayed for him. How do we pray for people who are visible, who've seen something in us, and they invite us in to talk about the kingdom and about Jesus? You ought to read that article. You can go on lifetoday.org. Go over to the right side of that page and also find my columns. What I'd like you to do is begin to build your own network of sharing insights. If you believe that God has given us something to offer, pass it on to others. I am convinced as you access those commentaries and the devotionals, you'll want to forward them to someone. I'm also convinced you get God's kingdom in you, and you're going to find God's kingdom presence becoming a reality. Not just something you read about in the Bible, but something you're experiencing daily. Let's join some of that session, brief portions of it that you can get in nearly 5 hours of teaching, five sessions on DVD or CD or both, along with Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline, Where Heaven Touches Earth. Fabulous book, written by a pastor that is literally full of the kingdom life of God. Enjoy the time that Betty and I spent talking about the kingdom and sharing with you.
You know, something that I noticed over the course of the last year, you know, just grow up into understanding of how the enemy will come against us. And if he can't take away a victory, he will do everything he can, Betty, to take away our joy in the victory. Oh, yeah. He'll not let us celebrate it. And I want you to know you have a God that wants to celebrate with you. One of the greatest things that we see in the outlaying of the kingdom agenda in Scripture is that it ends with huge celebration. That there's joy in the kingdom. There is that sense of, God, you caused me to be something I could not possibly be, do something I could not possibly do. And over the last year, God brought about a victory. Something big happened that I could not even enjoy because of a season of warfare the enemy brought upon me. By the time I came out from under it, it was already gone and over. And I thought, you rat. Because he couldn't take away the victory. So he came to take the celebration. And I never really got my high five moment with God. And I felt like he wanted me to have it with him. Mm-hmm. That we had fought hard and long, fought the good fight of faith, and God brought the victory. But I was so swept up in a personal, relational situation that I never knew where the victory went. I never got to even enjoy the sense that we had fought hard to get to a place where we could see that God had brought us into the light and into that victory. And it's just maddening.
Well, you came back to that place of joy, but you look back and think, why wasn't it there? It's kind of like, I think, the dilemma that Paul found himself in when he said, there's a messenger of the devil that is buffeting me.
Yes.
And I've been asking God to take this thing away, but this conflict is here, and it's like he's landing some solid blows. And it's really disturbing. And here's what God said to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, rejoice in the reality of my grace. Focus on that reality and not on the enemy assaulting you. This really was given, this battle, so that you not be unduly exalted beyond measure for the abundance of the revelations. Paul, you've got such an incredible relationship with me. People would tend to put you up on the pedestal rather than keeping Christ as the center. And so you've got this conflict, but it's real. But what he was actually saying, and I'm absolutely convinced Paul got there. In other words, even in the conflict, with all of the assault of the enemy, people saying ugly things about you, persecuting you, count it all joy, I believe he reached that point that he could.
Yes.
Even in prison.
Oh,
I believe in the darkest prison. I believe in among Caesar's household, wherever he was, he could let that river flow. Remember in the Philippian jail at night, and they'd been beaten and put in stocks, and they started singing. Can't you just hear that? Paul turns over to Silas and says, let's sing. Silas said, sing what? He said, let's sing praise to God. Right here. And when they began to praise, the prison doors flew open, and other people were set free. The very people that locked them up and the one entrusted to keep them was converted by the power of God, and so converted that he didn't fear anybody anymore. He took them to his house. That's a real conversion from the power and presence of the kingdom, even in the pit of despair. So we really have to learn to rejoice because he is here.
Yes.
And here's what I had to learn, because I'm a very emotionally sensitive person. Nobody can tell that. You know, I don't pretend. I'm very, very, very emotionally expressive and sensitive and so forth. And the Lord has had to show me, you don't trust a feeling. I'm here whether you feel it or not.
That's good.
You trust the truth.
That's right.
You trust the reality. See, when I first started preaching, I was so shy and so scared, but God told me to preach, but this is really the truth. And I bet it's hard when people see the boldness and the freedom with which I speak, they can't believe this was true. But when I would come out to preach, the preacher would have to help hold my knees down on the platform because I was shaking so bad. I'd just sit there and he'd just think, my God, this guy's going to get up in a minute. And I'm sitting over here, I'm just terrified. But the minute I would stand up, those arms just came around me. And you talk about a holy boldness. It was really something to watch. But one night I got up there and that presence didn't come. And it was almost like a spirit of panic.
Yes.
And I thought, I don't feel that. And it was as though he whispered, but I'm here.
Oh, that's good.
I'm right here. You trust me, not feelings. And that explosion just released. But it was a lifetime learning experience to move beyond feeling into the faith and reality of his abiding presence.
Good.
And abiding in that presence. And in your darkest moment. And by the way, She shared a dark moment. Paul shared a dark moment. I just shared a moment. We still have many of times you just feel like God's not to be found.
I know, and I was just sitting here thinking, that is the awesomeness of God. He will come where we are.
Yes.
Wherever we are, He will find us. And then He will, if we'll allow Him to and submit to Him, we can go where He is. In our spirit, in our relationship with Him. As I was thinking of that, I thought, a couple of years ago, James and I asked our older daughter to come on because all our grandchildren, we have 11 grandchildren, and the youngest one just turned 12. The oldest one is 24. And so a couple of years ago, you know, they're busy. They're I want to go to Mimi and Papaw's. Uh-huh. And Mimi and Papaw get down on the floor with them, take them somewhere and play with them, or whatever. They were entertained. Well, that's a little bit different when you get the age they are now. They don't want to come sit on the floor with Mimi and Papa and play, you know. And so we said, Rhonda, how can we connect with our kids at the season that they're in now? And she said, Mom, it used to be to where they came to you. Now you're going to have to go to them.
That's good.
And I said, because of our love, our deep love for our family, I will go wherever I need to go to have that fellowship and that communication and that love. So where do we go now? We're texting all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, I will learn anything to keep that communication with them. And they seem to love it because one of them said, Mimi, you're cool. Whoa, that makes my day for my grandkids to tell me I'm cool.
Boy,
and that I'm communicating with them. Well, I mean, God wants our love and toward Him to be that way. He wants communication with us. He's right here in our face and in our hearts if we'll just open up our hearts and say, God, talk to me.
Yes.
Communicate with me. I need your understanding. I need your wisdom. I need your love.
I want you to write down some thoughts. As a matter of fact, this particular little phrase I'm going to give you came out of The Supernatural Skyline by Jim Hilton that I recommend to you. But, and I think, Beth, you will really appreciate this. This is what the kingdom presence and power does. This is what that imprint and that presence creates when you allow the presence of the kingdom to be prevailing in your life and manifest and leave the appropriate imprint. It changes our attitudes, and you're going to spend a considerable amount of time in this series on God's kingdom in us, on the Beatitudes.
Yes.
All right? Attitudes, that's where Jesus started. Attitudes will be affected appropriately by kingdom presence. Attitudes. Now, here's why attitude is so important. Attitude, and this is in the spiritual realm, attitude creates atmosphere. You remember how, Betty, I would always, in times of correction or instruction in our family, I would look to see how it expressed itself in in their actions. Mm-hmm. But I would also look to see what's your attitude like while you're doing right. Are you doing right because Daddy made me? Or have you gained, listen, this is so important, this is what wisdom is, have you gained understanding?
That's good.
Why? Why the correction? Why pointing you in this direction? Do you understand the appropriateness of it? All right, that affects their attitude, but I would also take it a step further. I wanted to feel the atmosphere when I came in. There should be an atmosphere of peace prevailing in the house of God, and in our houses. That should concern you. And it's not something you can force. It is the attitudes changing that create the atmosphere. Get this next line. Write it down. Atmosphere creates a climate. The atmosphere creates the climate. And this is so important. Climate creates a culture.
Oh, that's good.
It determines growing seasons, what grows, how long it grows, how well it grows.
That's really good.
Did you get those three? Attitude creates atmosphere. Atmosphere creates a climate. Climate creates a culture. Determines how things grow. And that goes in the spiritual realm. And by the way, I've written that down. And you see this little journal? This is the one that Robin gave me after she won the battle with cancer.
Yes.
Because God ordered her to walk over to the side of the bookstore and buy this for her daddy. Now, I could literally, I promise you, Beth, I could sit here and go through these pages of things God has spoken to my heart, and you would not have a dull moment.
No.
You really wouldn't have a dull moment. And yes, would you say, would they all line up with the Word? You better believe it. Because I want to tell you, if I get a check in my spirit or I'm not sure, I first look at the Word, but then I'll confer with someone.
Absolutely.
And I'll say, by the way, this just jumped out at me. Do you know what you're going to see when you look back and you hear someone preaching or someone says something? And don't spend your life going around saying, have you got a word from God for me? Listen, God gets up. When you get up every day, He's got a word for you. He is more anxious to tell you than you are to hear. You're dull of hearing because you haven't tuned your ears to the right channel. You're waiting for somebody else to come speak what he might want to whisper. When I put the trumpet to my lips, I'm just trying to get your attention so you can hear what he's saying. The sounds of heaven. That's the alert. Get your ears open. Get your eyes open.
Yes.
So he will talk to you. And you write it down. But sometimes if you've got a question about something, it's right to pass it by a sensitive person. But don't live waiting for somebody to come tell you the will of God that he's more anxious to reveal to you than you are to receive. Mm-hmm. Just start getting your receiver ready. Start getting your antennas up a little bit higher and tuned in a little bit more clearly to channel Jesus. And he'll talk to you. And you go ahead and write down the things he says. And a lot of times I'll write down something I read. The cross is not something we wear. It's something we bear. See, a lot of people, you can see strippers that got a cross on. You say, how do you know? I saw them. I never will forget, we went witnessing at a Super Bowl in San Francisco. And they had girls dancing inappropriately dressed and almost no dress in glass cages, even as you'd walk down the street. And I'd go over and pause and go around, and they'd come to the door. I'd look in and I'd say, I want to talk to y'all about Jesus. And they started trying to cover up immediately. Mm. And I never shamed them. I loved them. They'd stand there crying. And you know, a lot of them told me, I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. What are you doing here? Well, I'm just trying to make a living. I said, well, you don't have to make one this way. Well, we don't know what to do. And just prayed with them. I'm not going to put shame on any of them. I don't want to put shame on the people that are trapped in there. I don't know how powerful. Listen, if some of you have trouble with food, understand men have trouble with women. Because I tell you, women are prettier to men than food is to anybody who loves food. And it has even a greater attraction. We got major issues in the world that only God can solve. And it doesn't matter if you put on a T-shirt, Jesus is Lord. The question is he Lord? And the way you know if he's Lord is if he's working his will and his grace in you, and not that you're just living with sin management, always trying to keep everything in order so you look good in front of everybody else. That's a miserable way to live. The weight of his kingdom and his presence will change your life. So I really do encourage you to just to, you know, get a little journal. I wrote this down. I just looked up here where I said that he wants to put his arms around the world, and that's what the church helps him do. When we come together, we get to put his healthy arms of love around a hurting world. But here's something he showed me. He showed me this as I looked at history, and I looked at times when we would, in let's say, world issues of the world, we would face evil like Nazism and like communism. And finally, we would stand up because the truth had an impact on the culture to where we stood in the face of the enemy. But Beth, here's what I've seen. Just when you look back at Germany, and a lot of people really prayed the horrible things that happened to the Jews. And we talk about the Holocaust with the Jews, how terrible it was. And millions were killed. And yet in the past several decades, in America, we've killed 50 million people who were totally helpless in the wombs of their mother. And in many instances, we don't even bat an eye. Just go right on down. And if you even talk to people about not terminating a little innocent child, see, most of the pro-abortionists don't want you to even see that little baby on the sonogram to see what you're fixing to rip apart. Because you're ripping apart something with little arms and legs. If you could just see what you're really doing, if you could just have that heart change. But see, we don't even bat an eye about that. And we should. The church should understand that if we really impact the culture, two things will happen. One, we'll recognize that we've got some bad practices, but second, we'll understand and recognize the preciousness of every life, the preciousness and how love protects and love covers. We really need to see that. That's part of the culture impact we need to make. Well, when you look back in history, though, you take Nazi Germany. The praying people prayed evil out, Beth, but they never prayed righteousness in. And they began to replace evil with other answers to man's dilemma that weren't the answer from the answer, who knows all the answers. Do you get the drift? See, this is what God wants us to do. Not only pray evil out, but pray righteousness in, which is not a bunch of rule keepers, but a bunch of people being transformed by kingdom power and presence.
I love it. You know that saying that nature abhors a vacuum. And it's in that concept, and I'm asking you to think conceptually more than about a doctrine of demon possession, because we who are sealed in Christ cannot be possessed by anything besides the Holy Spirit. But remember when the one was had the demon cast out and it remained empty and seven more moved in. And that so often happens, exactly the principle that you're talking about, when we're just trying to get something out, but we don't replace it with the fullness of the Spirit.
That's right.
If we really think that all religion is about is being good and just always doing the right thing, and it reminds me so much of your testimony, Betty, if that's all there is to it, there is still such an emptiness that we are bound for a different kind of bondage. It'll lead that direction every single time because it's the fullness in Christ that brings us the wholeness. Wholeness really is Him filling up the entire vessel, that
Absolutely.
He's in us, holy, and that's what makes us holy. That's the concept of true health in the Spirit.
Boy, that's powerful. Thank you, Beth and Betty. And boy, what a powerful statement about being whole. It really leads to a true holiness, not some religious, pious system of rule-keeping and self-righteousness that makes you think you're above others, but real wholeness, real healing. Jesus healed a man, and I shared this in the story. I hope you'll go jamesrobinson.net and scroll back through the columns and read "The Blind Dog Help Me See." In that article, I point out that Jesus healed a withered hand, but it's the withered life His primary focus is on. I know many people who've been healed of a disease, but their life's never been healed. Jesus really came to give us wholeness. That is kingdom life. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, and I love the subheading. I mean, when I ask God, help me define in simple terms what kingdom reality is now, not future heaven, but kingdom reality now that you prayed for. And Jesus talked about between 80 and 100 times in the Gospels and many times in the New Testament, and beginning, as Beth Moore points out, in the Genesis to the Revelation, talked about the kingdom of God. The simple sentence that covers it is living in His presence, an awareness of His presence in the present. This is the power. This is really Spirit-filled living. But you won't walk in the Spirit if you don't understand that I'm breathing in the oxygen of spiritual reality. I'm aware of the weight and glory of God everywhere I go. Now, this series, God's Kingdom in You, will help you understand this incredible phenomenon. See, for my entire life as a Christian, I mean, I'm an illegitimate child, the product of a forced relationship, born to a 41-year-old mother who didn't have a job. I had no chance, no future. I came to know Christ. And when I came to follow Christ, I said, I lose my life in Your purpose. I was born from above into kingdom reality. And now then, for over 50 years, I have walked in the blessing of that. In when I stumble, the King, the Shepherd is there, looking down in the pit that perhaps I dug to lift me out. And as I've walked in kingdom presence, I've wanted to pass it on to others. God has shown me what's happening, and we've been able to grasp that and pass it on to you. Get this series in the CDs. We're asking for a gift of $40, and we'll send you Jim Hilton's book. For a gift of $90, you get the entire series and the CDs and the book. For a gift of $90. You may want to add something to that to help us feed some children. $10, $20, or $30 a month, we can feed one, two, or three children. Keep that in mind, but I'm asking you to request this series. With all my heart, I pray you'll get it.
Introducing God's Kingdom in You, a dynamic new teaching series that will inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. Through five dynamic messages, James and Betty Robison, along with best-selling author and teacher Beth Moore, reveal timely insights concerning your role in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is now, and God wants to use you to express His love and reveal His power like never before. James and Beth share ways you can pierce the darkness of this world, how you can release the transforming power of His kingdom in your life and to the world around you. It all starts with God's kingdom in you. You can live in His presence in the present.
God's Kingdom in You series is just an awesome, awesome series.
The kingdom of God is now. That joy is available to me now. It's so practical and simple. It's amazing.
Call now to receive the God's Kingdom in You audio series with companion scripture guide. And as a bonus, we will also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline, with your gift of $40 or more. Or request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide and book for just $90 or more. God's Kingdom in You is the power for living you've been looking for. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I really hope that you've made that call. And I've never been more excited about putting something in your hands that will go straight to your heart. Beth Moore said, James, you're so excited. She said this in the seminar. It's like trying to lasso the wind. Somebody else said, it's like trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. You're so excited. I am. I'm excited about what God wants to do for you, in you, and through you, that someone else may experience the blessing of His presence. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for any help you give to enable us to effectively help others. The kingdom of God is right here near you, in you, to be revealed. This is what we fail to do. We have failed to impact and make a God-given imprint on the kingdoms of this world.
This is a launching pad. This is the beginning of a journey. This is a starting gate. And it will help you solidify what you're supposed to be looking at, how this all works together. I love it.
It's gonna inspire you to dig deeper into God's Word and to share that with everybody and how important it is.
There should be something so alive and active in us that other people in the lost world are drawn to it.
Absolutely.
That it is the kingdom life, and there's just that sense of there's something that I'm aching for, there's something that I want, something that's missing. And that message of the kingdom alive in each one of us is extremely contagious.
God's kingdom in you created a longing in me to have an intimacy with Him that I've never, ever, ever experienced before, because I do want to hear from Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Next week, gifted Bible teacher and inspiring Women of Faith speaker Sheila Walsh unpacks God's Word to help us know the shelter of God's promises. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.